that we might all not only be encouraged but empowered to go out, make a difference in our world and our community, in the places where you send us. We're asking that you'd have your own way, move in our lives in a special manner. And God, we give you all the praise and all the glory, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask it all. Amen. If I could summarize the day of Pentecost, I would probably say it was the outpouring of God's grace. The church was now being born, being birthed. And the cries of those that were in the upper room, they were cries of great joy, responding to the things that God had done in their own lives. Now, it's something how God took the voice of 120 and it overshadowed the voices of the multitude on the street. 120, that would be about half of what we've got in here today. Small crowd, and yet they were able to get the attention of the crowd because they spoke up. Something was going on in their lives, and God was moving in that upper room. Last week we told you about the sounds of Pentecost. There was the sound of the wind. But then the second sound was the sound of the voices of the people that had been filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know about your relationship with the Holy Spirit. He's the third person of the Trinity. We know about God the Father. We know that he created all things for his own glory and for his own purpose. We know that the Son of God, Jesus, was not just when he was born in Bethlehem's manger, but this same Jesus was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him and through him, without nothing made that was made. That was Jesus. But now we're being introduced to the third person of the Trinity, and that is the Holy Spirit. He too was with God from the beginning in creation and involved in everything that God was doing. But now the Holy Spirit is going to take on a different role. He is going to inhabit the people. He had been with them. He had helped them. David would never have slain Goliath if it had not been for the Holy Spirit. Anybody in the house? Amen. Elijah couldn't call down fire on Mount Carmel. It had to be the Holy Spirit that was working with him. God worked through his people to show that he was a mighty God, but God had never inhabited to live at. It's one thing for us to say that we're going to stay somewhere, but when you abide, that means you're living there forever. When you were born again, you received something from the Holy Spirit that brought you out of the kingdom of darkness. Now please understand where you were. You were in darkness. I know you can claim I'm a good person. No. You were not a good person. You were bad. You were just bad to the bone. Amen. Mama, as the young folks say, you were tore up. And so when God got a hold of you, he brought you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. All of the other religions in the world talking about people making a change, but that was not people. This was God. Look at somebody, tell them this was God. He changed your life, changed you into a new person so that you now are living in the very presence of God and living with the essence of God. The same spirit that's in God is now in you. How about that? That's a wonderful thing. God didn't owe you anything. God didn't say, well, you know what? You just such a good person. I'm going to get. No. God gave the gift to you. It was a gift given by God Almighty. I feel like preaching this morning. It's not even in my notes, but I got to preach it anyway. And so the 120 that were in the upper room, David, they celebrated what God was doing. They didn't just say, well, I'm going to listen to the wind. They didn't just say, I'm going to look at the fire, the tongues of fire. They started speaking. And when they started speaking, God put them on the microphone from heaven and allowed the crowd below to hear what they were saying, because they were saying something. They were not behind closed doors. I said they were not behind closed doors. They were not doing this thing in secret, trying to encourage one another, see which one could outpraise the other. I've been in churches where folks tried to outshout one another. Been in churches where people would try to speak in tongue more than another. It wasn't for you in the upper room. It was to take what was in the upper room to the outside. And when they took it to the outside, Lord have mercy, all of heaven began to erupt as the church was now moving out of its safety zone. You might say it was birthed out of the womb of time into the very reality of what mankind needed. They needed to hear a word from God. If ever was a time that we needed a word from God, that time is now. People all over the airways talking mess, talking junk, talking about how to do this and how to rob banks, how to make bombs. But let me tell you, here's how you can be saved. Here's how you can be delivered from darkness. His name is Jesus. And I tell you what, you can try what you want to. You will never find anybody like Jesus. Yeah, he's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. Can I get some witnesses in here? Anybody know him? Anybody met him? Anybody know he's good? Everybody ought to know that he's kind. He's a gracious God. This is something how God poured out his grace. Now the disciples from Galilee, they were Galileans, as the scripture just told us. They were Galileans, and they were speaking in every language that was in that city, which tells us if you're going to speak in tongues has a purpose. It has a purpose. If other people hear it, it ought to be in a language where they can understand. Are y'all with me? Now, if it's just you speaking to yourself to God, that's between you and God. Anybody in the building? I'm just trying to get it right. Because you got folks who want to get around me and say something that I don't understand what they're saying, but when you talk in my language, then I can understand what you're talking about. I can understand where you're going with it. Who were these people? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and names I can't even pronounce. I did it one time, and I'm not going to try. So the question that we would ask ourselves, where are they from? From all over. Many of them represent proselytes. These are people that have been brought into the Jewish faith through some rituals, and they've been convinced that the living God is God, and so they're following God, but they don't speak, Ms. Cabot, they don't speak the language of the Jewish people. They still speak their own language. You know how it is sometimes. Church folk, they haven't really caught on to what we're supposed to be saying in church, so they're subject to say just about anything. And the church folk will look at them and say, what you mean by that? So we have to find out where these people are from. But then the second thing, we have to ask ourselves, what do they need? When you speak about people, you got to understand, what do they need? You came to church this morning with a need. It may have been a minor one, it may have been a major one, but everybody in this room needs something. Amen. And you have discovered the reason why and the purpose that you're here. You have discovered that man cannot meet your need. Amen. You have discovered that it's only God and the working of his power that can reach out and touch you and reach out and change you and reach out and help you to become the person that you need to be. I feel like preaching this morning. Y'all might not feel like listening, but I'm going to tell you anyway. And so these disciples were not only equipped with a sound, they were equipped with a message to tell somebody that God is real. Amen. When the church really becomes alive, it begins to speak that universal language that God is real. People will look at you and see that you're different. You're different. They said, wait a minute, I recognize those folk. They're Galileans. But they're speaking the Medes language. They go to Crossroads, but they're speaking the language of folk on the street. They know what I'm going through. They know what it means to have heartaches. They know what it means to have a son or a daughter on drugs. They know what it means to have a child in prison. Amen. They're speaking my language. I can understand them. But when we want to stay in the upper room or keep the upper room attitude, we ain't gonna talk to nobody. We'll cross the other side of the street like a Levite and a scribe before we talk to somebody. But remember when you've been dirty just like them. Remember when you were messed up just like them. Now you, now you're sober. Now you got it together. Now you got a little money in the bank. And so you think, all is well. Oh, but look at somebody, tell them, remember where the Lord brought you from. That'll preach when I look at where he brought me from. Oh, he brought me from a mighty long way. Can anybody, a few folk testify? He brought me from a mighty long way. Nothing but his goodness. So we're asking the question, where are these people from and what do they need? But then the third question we have to ask is, what do they know? It's not all the time that you need to give folks something. We like to give folks something. Back during the pandemic, government was throwing out money. Some of them didn't even need it. I take it anyway. You getting away? Yeah. You need a stimulus? I need a stimulus. But I learned. Dr. Ramon, I learned from my mama a long time ago. If folk give you something, they're going to want it back sooner or later. Yeah, the government giveth, and the government take away. I know y'all getting ready for April 15th. It ain't on nobody's holiday schedule, but yet it's a painful day. Come on, let me go on. Look at somebody say, he need to preach now. He meddling. So we have to ask those questions, because if ever the church is going to be effective in doing the things of God, we cannot simply say that we are filled with the Spirit. We must understand people. Where are they from? They may not be from your community. They may not know all the culture that you have in your community. They may not be dignified. I know when I first got called to preach, the people were saying, oh, he's not from good stock. Now, y'all young people, you don't know what that means, but that meant that my family was jacked up. We ain't have no deacons, no preachers in my family. Lee, we had moonshiners. My uncle got ran out of Scottsburg because he was running moonshine down to Roxborough. And they ran him up into New Jersey. Isn't that something? Yeah, that's my family. Them my kinfolk, Connie. But God is good. He looked beyond the fault and saw the need, which means if we're going to understand people, we've got to see what do they need. Don't judge them just because they come to the church. Don't look like you, don't act like you, don't smell like you. You know, you've got to look at people and see that there is a need in their life. The need that day was not for the disciples to gather together for worship. The need was to get out on the street. Go and tell. And so they had a message that God gave them. What did they know? They didn't know anything about God. These were outsiders. These were people that really had no relationship with God at all, except for the fact they heard. They heard enough to bring them to Jerusalem, but that's about it. But when they heard this praise coming in their own language, they said, wait a minute, something, God is up to something. Can I get real country? I'm going to get country anyway. God's fitting to do something. And so the question that we ask ourselves, is God among us? That's the question that we as the modern church have to ask ourselves. Is God among us? And if he is, how are we then equipped to deal with the issues that we're facing with? We just can't get back and say, ain't none of my business. All right. It is your business if God shows you. If he's going to bring people across your pathway, and maybe they're not who you know, but it's not about who you know, it's about what you know. Amen. When you can determine that, then you can reach out and begin to impact other people's lives. But then, what is the world hearing from the church? Oh, they're just old-fashioned folk. They just going up in there singing about Jesus. But they don't know that there's power in that name. They mock it, just like the folks that were there didn't understand what was going on in the church. There are people that don't understand us, but when you're willing to sit down with them, say, wait a minute, maybe you've been misinformed. Maybe you don't know that he's a burden bearer. Maybe you don't understand that he's the one that hears your prayer. Even when you can't see him, you can feel him move on the inside. Maybe you don't know that when you sing songs to him in the midnight hour, he will bring you through your trial. Maybe you don't know that. And if you don't know, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you that Jesus is real. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, the fact that we're able to proclaim this message of the gospel doesn't mean it's showtime. It means it's real time. Amen. We're going to impact people's lives with a message that they've never heard before. A message that is so powerful that everybody can hear it in their own language. I like that. Oh, I love that. Then the other thing that we have to be very careful with, will God say amen to what sound we're making? I thought about that. I thought long and hard about it. Sermons I preach, will God look at and say, well, good son, that's pretty good. Or will he say, it's nothing but mess. Did you not know that when preachers get to heaven, they're going to be judged by Christ? He's going to show them his hands, and a lot of them are going to look at him and say, Lord, I don't deserve it. I've already confessed to him, it's not I but you, Lord. Not I but you, because that's how the Lord is going to deal with the people. So the people at Pentecost. And while we mention the fact that there were Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, I may not pronounce it right, but that's how I know it. I'm from Scottsburg. What else do you expect? Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, Cyrene, all of these people, but there were other folk in the crowd that maybe you didn't notice. The others said who they were, but then if you notice that last verse 13, look at it in your Bible. It says other people. Can I talk about them? I'm going to talk about them anyway. There were the smart folk. Know everything. There was the ignorant folk. I don't know nothing. I ain't seen nothing. They were there. You had the weak folk. Can you help me? Then you had the strong folk. I don't need no help. They were there. They were in that same crowd. Matter of fact, they're in the crowd today. I ain't want to say it, but I'm going to say it. You had the sad folk, people that have problems. Then you got the happy folk because they're mooching off somebody else. They ain't got no problem. Oh, excuse me. I wasn't supposed to say that. I'm going to erase that up. You got the gambler. You got the gossiper. You got the liar, and you got the sincere. You got the thief and the murderer. You got the drunk and the sober. You got everybody because God wants him to hear that they can change if you let God have his way. The message went out, folks. Which brings me into the heart of my message, which brings us to the first question that was asked among that crowd. How can this be? How can it be that you have people gathered together and yet they hear a sound where they're speaking in a language so everybody can hear it? How can this be? It has to be God. I'll give you another question. How can it be that after 2,000 years, people still celebrate the goodness of Jesus Christ? It has to be God. How can this be that lives are still being changed? Because the same Holy Ghost that hit Jerusalem is moving in our lives today. And if we acknowledge it, God will move in a special manner. Do you understand what I'm saying? They asked the question, the important question that all of us have to ask. If you're going to find God, then you've got to start asking questions. You can't have all the answers. Well, I need God to do this. And I need God to shut your mouth and start asking God, Lord, you show me what I need. You help me to understand that you can look into my life and know all the things that I have need of you. When you come with a question, you leave with an answer because you're seeking God and not your own way. Second question that they ask at Pentecost, what can this mean? What can this mean? You know, the folks that just kind of blew it off. Oh, they just drunk. You know, I wanted to put a footnote in that verse, Joe. I wanted to put a footnote. It takes one to know one. How in the world they know how folk act 9 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock? How do they know if they hadn't been there themselves? Now, don't y'all look around too much because you might be, you might be giving yourself away. They just drunk. That's what they thought. Which means the Holy Spirit has a visible impact on the way you carry yourself. I'm not saying you need to get undignified, but I'm also saying you need to get uncute. Sometimes folks too cute for the Holy Spirit to make them cry. I'm not gonna say anything. Like that song said, I said I wasn't gonna tell nobody. Oh, but it's just like fire. Shut up in my bone. Yeah, you can claim you're not going to do it, but if you get enough God on the inside, you're going to do something. Yeah, I didn't mean to wave my hand, but when the Lord started working on me, my hands went up. I didn't mean to get up and dance and run around the church, but when God brought me through, let me tell you something. Let me just bring something to your mind. If God ever sets you free from a problem, you don't care who's looking at you. You're going to run. You're going to jump. You're going to tell somebody. You're going to shout because nobody could have done it but Jesus. As a matter of fact, let's just take a few seconds. Lift your hands up to God. Tell him thank you. Tell him praise you. Yeah. Yeah. Stop the service and say, he brought me through this, but I'm not going to do it right now. I'm not going to do it. Yeah, he brought me through that. Lord, I'm grateful. Yes, I am. To you. Anybody grateful in here? Give me a few more seconds. Give me a few more seconds. A few more minutes and we're going there. We're going there. Ask some questions. You don't have the Holy Spirit in your life and then you know everything. Ask him, Lord, what am I supposed to do now? Oh, some of y'all already been there. You've been there. You've had to fight cancer. You've had to fight some kind of disease. You've had to sit at nighttime waiting on your child to come home. You've had to get on knee and you ask the Lord, Lord, what do I need to do? Anybody been there? Anybody been there where you had to answer the phone in the middle of the night and you said to yourself before you answered, this can't be good. But guess what? God turned it around. Oh, I wish I could preach like a... Yeah, he brought me through. I'm not going to lie to you, he brought me through. But thank God I can give him praise. So if you ask the Holy Spirit the question, he will give you the answers. And he may not come in the way you want him to at the time you want him to, but tell somebody he's on time. I've been waiting on him to do some stuff in my family, in my life. I've been waiting on him a long time. But David, he tell me it's not time yet. And I'm going like this, Lord, when is the time? Oh, I feel like preaching today, Garland. When you think about those things that the Holy Spirit can provide you with answers to, it doesn't mean that your life becomes simple. It means that you become obedient. And he can do more through your life. He can produce the fruit that you need in your life. He can bring you through the different situations without you saying, I don't know. Oh, God, I don't know what I'm going to do now. And just, oh, you look a mess when you do stuff like that. But when people look at you and you can tell them, I'm holding on until my change comes. Well, God told me he didn't bring me this far to leave me now. Amen. He made me a promise that he would never leave me, amen, nor forsake me. I wish I could preach like I feel today. They asked the questions at Pentecost. What can this mean? And what is this that is happening around us? They asked the questions. Start asking God questions in your life. Go to his word and say, Lord, I'm looking for the answer. I'm seeking you to guide me and direct me. Well, what else happened among those people, preacher? Well, Pentecost actually was a reverse of a curse. There was a curse placed on the tongues of men, Genesis chapter 11, that did not allow them to communicate, because every time they would communicate the wrong message, which was more centered around what they could do for evil rather than what they could do for God. If you could go back to the 11th chapter of Genesis, I'm not going to get into all the details of it, but it tells us that they were in the plain of Shinar. That was a good place for them, level land, where they could build a monument, not to God, but to mankind. So they erected this structure, this ziggurat. They erected it so high. The archaeologists found it in late 1800s, and they discovered that in that place where they had built, it wasn't just a monument and a building. They had in it pagan shrines to where they could worship the way they wanted to and not have to acknowledge the living God. Isn't that something? And so the Lord, looking down from heaven, said, are they doing what I'm thinking they're doing? He said, let's go down there. Let's go down there. Let's see what they're doing. You think God doesn't know what you're going through and what you're doing. He know about it. Yeah, he knew you were in the club. Don't look around. Don't. Hold your head in there. Hold your head. No, I'm just picking on you. God knows your circumstances. What they were seeking to do is to have a life without God. They said, let us build it to the heavens. That's not just saying we want to make it high. We want to make it in defiance to God, because we're powerful. They didn't even realize that God held their next breath. Now, what he could have done is went down and wiped them all out. But he said, no, I'm going to confuse their language. I'm going to get it to where the next morning they get up, can't nobody talk to nobody. And so they got up the next day. The bricklayer went over to the guy that was putting up the beams and said, you know, you're not doing it. He said, what you saying? They couldn't understand one another. They couldn't get on one accord. Are y'all here? This sound like church, Dexter. Where everybody got their way of doing stuff instead of saying, which is the Lord's way? Are y'all listening to me? On the plain of Shinar, they had their first messed up church meeting. What am I saying? I'm saying that unless you listen to the Holy Spirit, any effort that you make is going to be in vain. Nobody's going to understand it. Nobody's going to be able to relate to it. But when you start speaking as directed by God's word, now you have a foundation. God confused their language so that the thing that they didn't want to do, they had to do it anyway. They were scattered over the face of the earth. They were saying to God, we ain't going to scatter because we're going to have something to bring us. God said, no, you're not. They said, yes, I am. God said, no, you're not. He said, yes, I am. So God came down and he scattered. Even today, people still have problems communicating unless you get filled with the Holy Spirit. When you have the Holy Spirit, doesn't mean that I need to do everything you're doing, but I need to understand that God's doing a great work in you. How about that? Will that work? And when you recognize that, then we can walk on together in Jesus. I'm preaching now. We can walk on together in Jesus' name and celebrate the goodness of God. I'm going to tell you something, church. It's not my way. It's not your way. It's God's way. But on the day of Pentecost, rather than confusing the language, he brought them all back together. Said, now let's try this again. Let's try this again. But the only thing is different, I'm going to give you my spirit so that you'll know how to talk to one another. I ought to know how to respect you. I ought to know how to honor God in you. I don't have to lay you out because you don't understand everything I'm doing. I have to recognize that the same God that's in you is also in me. Do I have some witness? I'm preaching to you, trying to help you out. And when we do that, we'll learn to love one another. We'll learn to respect and begin to share with one another and help one another. The other crowd, let me just give a few things before I close in, and I'm going to get out of my mess because I told you we're going to talk about, I got to celebrate today. I got to celebrate God's goodness. So what do we learn from this? This other crowd, they ridiculed, they made fun of, made light of. Poked at, try to find problems with it. There are people that today, they try to find theological problems about the gospel. They said, well, the gospel doesn't agree. Funny, I haven't had any problem with it yet. Do I understand everything in it? No. But guess what? I believe everything in it, and so far, so good. It's worked thus far. It changed my life, and I tell you what, it did what God wanted it to do. Amen? So we have to look at those that ridicule and those who would put down this gospel and say, that's the other crowd. But as for us, as for our house, we're going to find a way of keeping it real. Amen? We're going to find a way of recognizing how good God is. That other crowd, it was a response that they had to have. And so I'm going to give you this response. Four things I'm going to give you before I close. Number one, grace brings people together. God's grace was poured out, and that brought us together. Why are we here today? Grace. God smiled on you early this morning. God looked at you and said, you know what? I love you, and I'm going to allow you to have it in your heart that you're going to come out and worship today. You're going to get something today because I'm going to bless you. That's grace, people. Grace brought us together. But then the second thing that we have to understand is that God's work cannot be stopped by man's work. You think those crowd of people won't stop that church from moving? They just drunk. Peter stood up and said, no. It's just 9 o'clock in the morning. We don't start drinking that time. Any real folk in here? I can't talk to some of y'all. Y'all holy folk. Y'all don't know. You don't know. I was telling my wife the other day, I don't drink, but I need one. All right. Oh, Pastor, you ought not be saying that. You don't know how stuff get on your nerve. But thank God I ain't got to pull up to the bar. Just pull up to my Bible. Amen. I'm just saying, amen, somebody. Yeah, let me go and finish. Let me wrap this sermon up, Brother Jones. Cat's out the bag. All right. God. I know some of the visitors saying, that's a crazy preacher up there. You just don't know where the Lord brought me from. Amen. But you cannot stop God's word. And what he was doing at Pentecost was the exact opposite of what he did in Genesis. God confused the work in Genesis because it was the wrong work. But at Pentecost, he put his hands on it. Say, y'all get going. Get to moving. Go on with what you got, because I'm with you. Isn't that great? This is God. He doesn't need Crossroad. He doesn't need a single one of us in here. But he said, you ready to join the team? If you're ready to join the team, I'm going to give you something to help you to be a team member. Isn't that great? Nobody can do that but God. All right, let me move on. Y'all got tired of me now. All right, pay attention to heaven. Well, I'm just worried about what the folks going. Wait a minute. I started to tell y'all something that my mama said, but y'all can't handle it. All right, so I'm not going to say it. Miss Cavill, I'm not going to say it. No matter how much I want to say it, I'm not going to say it, because y'all can't handle it. Y'all can't. My mama had a million sayings, and every one of them meant something. Yeah. But don't let other people determine your future. Because when you allow and when you start listening to them, young people, don't let the peer pressure cause you to do things that in your heart you know this ain't right. Have the integrity in yourself. Say, no. Y'all go ahead. You go on with your bad self, but I'm not doing that. Listen and pay attention to the voice from heaven. One of the greatest discoveries that I made when I was in the military at the age of 20, away from family, away from everybody, all by myself, but I wasn't by myself. Mama had told me something, that the same God that's with you in this house is going to be with you wherever you go. And I wasn't saved at the time, but I'd kneel down beside that military bunk and I'd start calling on God. I said, God, you take care of me. I'm going to give you my life. I said, but you got to wait till I get 35. He ain't wait. I barely made it 2 years before he got a hold of my heart and snatched me out of the world I was living in and saved me, and I've been saved ever since. Thank God for Jesus. Pay attention to heaven. And then the last thing we got to understand is God will be praised by all. Notice I said by all. Those same people that said they're drunk, they don't have this real power in them, their knee is going to bow one day. Because Philippians 2:11 says, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, whether they want to or not, whether they serve him or not, whether they're drunk folk or not, whether they're cussing folk or not, they're going to get a praise that day. And that praise is going to be that Jesus is real, and he's real in my soul. But guess what, folk? I'm not waiting until I have to. I know I want to. Anybody want to praise Jesus today? Anybody want to give him thanks? Anybody want to worship him and say that he is God? Put those hands together. He brought me through this. He brought me through that. I know we got to celebrate communion in a minute. I know this is not good English, but ain't it good? Ain't it good? Ain't it good? We're going to extend the invitation. There might be one today. Maybe one today. I know some of y'all saying, man, I needed this church service. I got my praise on. But it's more about getting your life on, finding your life, finding God's way. If there are any today that want to come to the altar, I want to first invite those that maybe don't know Christ. We invite you to come. But then maybe those that are carrying a burden and said, you know what, this thing is getting too heavy. I'm not going to carry this burden. Your name?
Hamir
Cabell. Cabell or Cabler? Cabell. All right. Your name, sir?
Tahir Cabell.
Tanya?
Tahir.
Okay, you're going to write it down. I'm have hard of hearing. The Cabells, they've come up and you came to give your life to the Lord. And if you heard about baptism, you know what that's all about. You want to be baptized. Now you got to first believe. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior and that He died for your sins?
Yes.
That was the message at Pentecost. And once we believe that in our heart and confess it with our mouth, the Bible says we're saved. What about you, sir?
Yes.
You believe that Christ died for your sin?
Yes.
And that He rose again? Now, you may be seated in the congregation. So you all are saying that you're willing to pray this prayer with me? Have you already prayed what they call the sinner's prayer? Have you prayed that prayer? Well, we're going to pray it now, okay? Repeat after me. Lord Jesus,
I'm a sinner,
and I need your help.
I need you
to come into my life. I can't see you with my eyes, but I believe that you will live in my heart if I believe. With all of my strength, I believe today. Make me a child of God. I thank you. My sins are forgiven. I'm a new person. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So now that you made this statement, you want to be baptized. You'd like to be baptized here?
Yes.
And you want to join the church?
Yes.
You want to join here?
Yes.
Okay, man. Y'all got this thing. Cabell Brothers, let's give them a hand, eh? All right. All right, well, based on your confession, the Bible says that you're saved. The next step would be the water baptism. And I'm going to tell you something, son. I wish with all of my heart that I could be at your age one more time. That would be for a couple of reasons, yeah. But there'd be a whole lot of things that I would do differently because of Christ. But I did learn. And what you've asked to happen in your life, I believe that God's going to do that for you, okay? All right, we're going to welcome you into the family today, and the water baptism will be welcoming you into the church. I'm going to get you to stand right here for just a second. All right. Look at these nice young men. Amen. Amen. Let us greet them. Eddie, you? I mean, not Eddie, but Drake. No, Drake. Yeah, yes, sir. Okay. Okay. You are been in church, right?
No, I'm actually a member.
Huh?
I'm not a member.
You're not a member?
No.
Get out of here. Really? Well, folks, Brother Eddie Preston. That's right, Charlene joined. How'd you sneak in? Brother Eddie has come to join with us here at Crossroad, and I thank God for him. He's been serving just like a real member, and man, you had me messed up. Huh? But we are going to get you to stand there, and we already have information on him, and so we're thanking God for Brother Eddie that has been such a blessing to the church, such a powerful, powerful blessing. Amen. And this young lady came up for prayer, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
Amen. So we're going to have prayer. There might be others that have come up for prayer as well. How you been doing? I'm sorry. That's the country in me. Y'all had to forgive me. Amen. Good to see you. Good to see you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we're going to have prayer. These are your sons. Okay. Handsome young men. Huh? Amen. We're going to all join hands and pray with them. I'm going to do something different. Brother David, would you lead us in prayer this morning? What that microphone there, David?
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today to thank you, Lord, for the great thing that we have witnessed here today.
Yes, sir.
Father, we know that you are doing a great work in this land.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, we know the time is winding up. And Father, you know that last one that's going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But right now, Lord, you are doing a great work.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, Lord, for what we are witness today.
Yes, Jesus.
We pray, Lord, for those that have gathered around the altar in need of prayer.
Yes.
Father, we thank you, Lord, that your arm is not too short. That you cannot reach out, Lord, and touch our lives in every area that we may be weak.
Yes, sir.
So, Father, right now, Lord, we come before you, Lord, just to say thank you.
Thank you.
For your grace.
Yes.
Not for mercy, but for mercies.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
For you have great mercies, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
You're not limited, Lord, to anything that we come to ask. So, Lord, we come in faith.
Yes,
realizing, Lord, that you went to that old rugged cross,
yes,
died and shed your precious blood.
Yes.
But, Lord, you didn't stay there. You rose again on the third day, all power in your hand. And then, Lord, you stand on the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. So, Father, we just ask you now, Lord, that you would just meet those needs,
yes,
only the way that only you can, Father. And, Father, we'd be so honored to just to say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
And Lord, we just, these and all prayers, we ask in that Son Jesus' name for us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. To the church, we've witnessed the confession of the Campbell brothers and also Brother Eddie Preston, his desire to join the church. The Campbell brothers are going to be joining by water baptism. Eddie is going to be on his Christian experience. So we'll entertain that motion to receive them at this time.
Make a motion that we receive the Campbell brothers as well as Eddie as our members to Crossville Baptist Church.
Amen. Amen. Is there a second? Promptly moved and second to receive the Campbell brothers as candidates for baptism and Eddie on his Christian experience. You've heard the motion. Are we prepared to vote? All in favor, vote aye.
Aye.
Any contraries? So moved and carried. So welcome you. Amen. You'll be going through baptism.